Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's All You Can Geek Gamescast, episode 339. I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gass, joined by Mike Sanidi.
What's up?
And Tony Korkanakis.
Yo.
Welcome, guys. Welcome, listeners, to episode 339. Corey won't be joining us tonight, unfortunately. He's got family stuff. He's got to watch his kids, pretty much. He'll be back next week, I hope. Talk to us about his Persona experiences, if he's gotten any. He's been tied up, essentially. But we'll get into what we've been up to shortly. Let's talk about some news real quick. Nintendo Direct coming up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Finally get to hear some information about ARMS and more information on Splatoon. You know what's funny is, like, because I missed the test fire and I've never played Splatoon, it just doesn't interest me as much as ARMS.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm going to buy ARMS either, but I'm interested. I want to know what they're going to bring us. Like, I want to know information about it. Like, I think that would be cool. Like, I'm looking forward to this new... It's a new game. You know what I mean? It's like... I'm interested in this thing. So, I don't know. What are we expecting?
Probably more playable characters, some arenas, release date, price.
Yep.
They should get Dollism in there.
Okay. Oh, now I know. Okay. Dalsim? I was like, wait, what? Dalsim. Dalsim, not Dollism. Dollism is a religion. Dalsim is the character.
Sure.
Yeah, I took me a second to realize what you're talking about, Mike, but yeah. I don't know. Are we going to get any other information in this, Tony? You think any VC? Anything like that?
What the official Nintendo Twitter said was the Direct would mostly focus on ARMS and Splatoon 2.
No surprises, though.
I mean, there'd probably be minor surprises. I think we might see, like, an eShop title or two that... So Nintendo likes to just throw those out there every now and then. It's like, hey, there's this game available right now, today. Like, boom, like... Okay, that's out of nowhere. No marketing or anything. That just kind of, boom, drops it. I don't think we're going to see any big surprises. I think Virtual Console, I think that's waiting until June. I actually think right now the lack of VC is them just kind of doing a gift to the third-party developers right now.
Oh.
Give them a chance to sell their games now.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, let's be honest. If Virtual Console launched with... like Super Mario Brothers 3 or Super Mario 64 or Zelda or something like that. Like, it's like, cool, I'll buy Zelda and I'll download a couple Nintendo published Virtual Console titles.
Yeah.
So right now, I mean, from what it seems like, those third party games are doing pretty well on the Switch. I mean, Super Bomberman R is apparently the best selling Bomberman game in 20 something years, which is kind of crazy.
It never hooked me. It just didn't hook me.
No, it's not the best Bomberman. I think they kind of were just like, kind of test the waters. It's like, give it to a B, not even B, probably C-list studio, limited budget. It's like, here you go, make a game, make Bomberman games.
That's where I broke even. I traded it in, actually. I broke even on it.
Yeah.
Because of the 30, yeah. the Visa checkout and then the Best Buy trade-in. Mm-hmm. I just, you know,
yeah.
Broke even. I had to make that decision.
Yeah, and that's fine. The nice thing is, because it's selling so well, Konami has actually announced that they're going to continue supporting with free DLC.
That's cool.
What that remains to be seen, you know, is what that exactly entails. But, it's a good sign. And I think, you know, it might show Konami that there's a market for those retro titles. I mean, I would love to see, you know, new Contra, new Castlevania,
That would be awesome. Yeah, it would be really cool, but... I wouldn't hold my breath for Castlevania the way that the second game, wasn't that like cut off production essentially?
Which one?
Castlevania, the 3D one.
Lords of Shadow?
Yeah. Didn't they only get to tell like half the story they wanted to like in that game because they got cut off?
Yeah, who cares? Fuck those guys. They suck shit.
You know, you might get a Castlevania game because
they're
trying to make that movie.
Yeah. There's no way they're doing the throwing money at a project to not tie into a Castlevania. But. If they did, like, a retro-style Castlevania, that'd be awesome. Instead of that, like, I don't know, like, secondhand fucking God of
like
War shit.
You didn't like
Castlevania 64?
I never really played them much. The Patrick Stewart Castlevania, I'll say, because he was, like, the voiceover for somebody in that. I forget who it was, but I played, like, half of the first game, and people liked it. Lords of Shadow?
Yeah. I don't know.
On which system?
Not the N64, because I played the finished version of the game. That's what I'm thinking of. There were two. One of them didn't have the wolf in it, right? That they wanted to put into it?
Yeah, it was Castlevania 64.
Yeah, yeah. And then they came out with this other one. Isn't that what I'm thinking of? I mean, you think about the wrong game.
They made games on PS2 or PS3?
PS3 is what I played, yeah. PS3 and 360 are the ones I played.
Yeah, those are shit. Fuck them.
Do you want a 2D classic style game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. We're getting Bloodstained. But, I mean, here's the thing. All that money that went to Bloodstained, you know, hopefully that kicks Konami's ass into being like,
we're also very guarded with that, thanks to Inafune.
Inafune too. Fuck him.
But I'm guarded on Bloodstained because of that, because I'm like, and we get.
Did you know that Mighty Number 9 still has not come out on 3DS or Vita? That was pitched for the original Kickstarter. Jesus. I still haven't gotten my physical rewards for that fucking piece of shit.
Yeah,
like, it's not like I want them at this point, but like I do because I paid for that shit. It upsets me how bad that one Kickstarter soured me on anything else right now. Like, I wish I'd just given that money to Shovel Knight.
I would have. I'm pretty glad that I didn't sponsor Shenmue higher. And then I went with my digital, because it's like, yeah, I paid for the game, and that's it. Because nowadays with Kickstarter, you just don't know what you're going to get. You just don't know.
No.
No offense to the team working on that, and you know, it might be a different situation, but like, I'm sorry, but bad taste, you know.
I mean, that was always
never going to come out.
That was always the case with Kickstarter. Like, it's always a chance that, like, I mean, it might not even come out. But like, the thing is, like, with Mighty Number 9, it was such a shit, like, show. Literally, it was a shit show. Every possible thing that they could have done to, like, ease people's, like, perception or worries or anything like that, they did the absolute worst case scenario. It's like, should we tell people that we're delaying the game? No, we're gonna wait until like a week before the release date and then tell them the game's gotten delayed.
The worst part about that was, like, they didn't even bother with their Kickstarters, their backers. They told other people first. Like, this is already out there before the people who invested in the game knew.
Like, yep. Hey, they got to play the game before we did too, but, you know, hey.
Bringing up another issue that I don't want to get Mike's. Mike, it's okay, Mike. We're not going to get into it. I understand. Yep.
It's all right. Let's go on. Move on.
All right. What else we have here? Oh, and the Xbox Scorpio system reveal. We didn't get to talk about that. We can now.
All right. Let's talk about it.
It is the most powerful console. Going to be the most powerful console when it launches. I don't think there's any disputing that, like, whatsoever. I thought it was very impressive, the amount of hardware information we got from Digital Foundry, but it doesn't answer what's going on with their exclusive games, their first party titles, ultimately. Like, and that's not what the point of that was, but we keep saying they need games, and people keep saying, oh. Like, I watched the responses to people saying, where are the games? And the response is like, Forza, Gears, Halo, Crackdown. That's everybody always says. I'm like, those titles don't appeal to me as, like, system sellers. I don't think I'm wrong in that. Like, I think they're for old franchises now. I think that you need new IPs, fresh ideas, and I don't know if we're going to even get them. Because right now they're demoing this Scorpio with Forza 7, or Forza Apex, Forza 6 Apex, and Forza 7, obviously. So, I don't know.
I don't really understand what the concept of the system is yet.
Here's the idea behind it, for those wondering. Here's the full rundown. They gave the information to Digital Foundry, and I think that was actually a smart move to give us the information we got, because Digital Foundry is one of those companies that just scrutinizes frame rate, graphical resolution. I mean, they've been picking apart the Xbox games since launch, running at 720p versus 1080p on the PlayStation 4, or, you know, they've been doing that constantly. So they finally gave us specs on this console, which, it's impressive how they're going to get 4K out of this. It's a very customized chip. They're building DirectX 12 into the GPU. They're giving it 12 gigs of RAM instead of, you know, the standard 8 or whatever is in the Pro, or, you know, the other systems, and GDDR5, which is what PlayStation 4 has. It's very, very, you know, impressive. And another impressive part of this is the cooling system. It's almost a liquid-cooled system, essentially, the way they're setting this up. The heatsink itself has a nice dissipating layer of, like, vapor, essentially, is what it does, is how it dissipates the heat. Very cool ideas. But, like I said,
who cares?
We didn't get anything on
the... Can't play a cooling system, dude.
No, I know. I have to say that I was very impressed with the hardware. But, sure. Again...
Agreed.
Yeah.
But
What's it for?
Hardware with no games has no fucking point in my life.
Yeah. Now, the coolest factor of this is it will play your 360 and Xbox One games at faster load times, full resolution, whatever the resolutions were supposed to be at, they'll hit in the system with a target frame rate. So, like, if it was supposed to be 1080 60 frames per second, 1080p 60 frames, it'll be 1080p 60 frames and not usually dip the way it looks. Without optimization, that's actually built into the system. If they write a patch, obviously it could be even better, but like your base games that I own, like if you own a game right now on Xbox One, that game will see a performance boost on the Scorpio. Like it's a good idea. Like the PlayStation 4 Pro, you need to patch in order to see the boost. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't give everything a boost.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't care. Show me games.
It's just like,
show me games or shut the fuck up.
Yeah, unless there's some actual new software that takes advantage of this power substantially, then what's the point?
Yes.
Not to mention the price tag.
Now, that's what I was going to bring up next. Do you see $499 in this, or do you think $399?
$499. There's no way they hit $399.
I think they could, but I do agree with you on $499. I think that's making it a premium, and it's not going to sell well, and I think at $399 they could do very well. Except for, again, we're back to the original comment of games. But I think people on the fence about buying a console, which I don't know who's out there still, but they might buy the Scorpio at $399.
The only group of people who might like this have to be like already into all of the Xbox franchises and have to be like super like graphics whores.
So this is me. But I'm telling you that I'm not that interested in this at the moment. Like, I like...
Isn't that bad?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to attack them for their idea for the system, because I think it's really cool. I think it's a good idea.
Yep.
And I think it's what... I think if they had not focused on Kinect and TV entertainment in the start, we may have gotten something closer to this when it first launched. Like the Xbox One. I'm not saying we would have gotten this, but we would have gotten something closer to this. And instead we got something that was underpowered and put them behind the eight ball behind Sony immediately and made their third-party games that we all play, me get them on the PlayStation 4 rather than my Xbox One because it's the better experience. So that problem might be fixed here. But then we just don't have... Now I'm like playing these games. Like I'm playing Persona 5 right now, exclusive to PlayStation 4. I played Horizon, exclusive to PlayStation 4. These games are Game of the Year candidates. Like, they are. There's nothing on Xbox that's going to be Game of the Year candidate for me this year. Nothing that I can think of. Crackdown is not a game that appeals to me. It just doesn't.
When was the last time a Microsoft-published game came out that was Game of the Year worthy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. Halo 3.
I'll agree. Halo 3, probably, yeah. And that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Corey and I really enjoyed Halo 4.
It was all right, but
I remember
if it was a weak year, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't Game of the Year that year. Gears of War 3, you could maybe say. Like, I don't know how long ago that was either, but like, Gears of War 4 is not a Game of the Year candidate. It wasn't. I mean, it was a good game, but it wasn't great. You know what I mean? Like, none of these games are that impactful anymore. And I enjoy Forza Horizon, but it's not a game that, again, it's like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm salivating over getting a new Forza game. I'm just, I'm looking forward to games like...
It's safe. It's a safe move.
That's sure it is. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, Sony's lineup coming up, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to get... We were talking about Uncharted today. Lost Chapters. Lost Chapters? Mm. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. But am I calling that wrong?
Lost Legacy.
Lost Legacy, sorry. It didn't sound right, but we'll get to that in a second. That's another topic we want to get into here, but... You know, that's coming out. I'm looking forward to that. What's some big games coming out from them this year? Shit. I should have pulled this up.
Still had Nier.
Oh, I still have Nier to play. That's another exclusive.
Candidate, at least. Dragon Quest XI just got announced. Release date for Japan. That's going to be huge.
Come on. Oops. Here we go. Sorry, I'm looking this up live. I mean, Shenmue 3, talking about Kickstarter. That's exclusive.
That'll never come out, though.
Not this year. I am looking forward to Gran Turismo Sport, even though I talk about Forza. Yeah, I'm probably looking more to Gran Turismo right now because of just for the old series thing for me. Well, there's not really. Oh, there's not really much. They're getting exclusive Red Dead Redemption content. So depending on what the Scorpio does, could be
exclusive Destiny content.
I mean, there is a little bit of a skew right here. Like we have these like 3 or 4-ish PlayStation exclusives all came out at once. Before that, there really wasn't much of anything, and there's probably not going to be too much going forward either. But it still feels like a big difference now because all these games are good to great. And they all came out, like, right now. You can pick and choose between, like, 3 or 4 exclusives that you just don't have on the other side.
Yeah.
But they did all kind of come out at once.
They did. And I know we have E3 coming up for what's coming out in the fall, so we'll see. But, I mean, Microsoft needs some game this year that's got people excited in. Something new. Something fresh. You know, give us a...
They had Halo Wars 2.
Give us an action-adventure game that's interesting. Come on.
So
like Fable?
There we go. Fable, give us like Fable 12 and a half, whatever they're on.
Give us a real Fable game.
I knew shit was going down when they shut down the Fable studio. Because that was previously one of their staples. Like Halo, Gears of War, Fable, Horizon.
Yeah.
Like, or Forza, I'm sorry. Not Horizon. Forza. Forza Horizon, that's why. But, like, that was, like, one of their staples, and they killed that cat. It's like, why? Well, what did you do? What the fuck is Rare even doing for them anymore?
I mean, they're doing the
at least last thing. Generation, they were doing sea all the Thieves. Connection. What they're are doing, they doing now?
Sea of Thieves is all they're working on. Who knows what that's going to be? That is coming this year, but it's going to be an MMO. Like, I don't care about playing an MMO. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what I'm asking for. I want a game that's a game like Horizon that I can play. Like a game like Uncharted, a game like an action adventure, but like very narrative story driven game that's experienced.
Like Scalebound?
Yes. I was disappointed with that cancellation, man. I was. I'm not saying that that game was going to be good because if they canceled it, it was probably shit. But have something else in the backup plan. You know what I mean? Like, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know what I mean? Like, spread it out.
Even if it was a shit, though, Easter episode. Nobody's release it. Like,
there it is, Mike. I got it.
Look at, like, The Order, you know? Like, critically panned, but it was at least it was something, you know?
Yeah, it was a shot. It was a shot. You know? We just haven't had a lot of that. So, I'm trying to see if there's anything else I'm missing, but nothing at the moment. So, yeah. Anyways. All right. So, that's the Scorpio news. We don't have much more. They were teasing something.
I just don't know why they did it. Like, it just seems so out of the blue and so arbitrary. Like, hey, we're going to talk about it this week.
Yeah, it was weird, random. I don't know what they're planning on doing for, but they're doing daily releases now.
Probably to combat all these exclusives for Sony out around now.
It might be. So.
I mean, and the Nintendo, like just the Switch and stuff like that. Like, oh, I guess we gotta get something out there. It's like,
we gotta say we're still here.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, man. Like.
I know. It doesn't look good for them right now.
And the thing is, too, is like. You know, previously, the way they were so vague on the wording of what Scorpio was, like, oh, no, it'll play all the games you own. It's like, all right, does that imply backwards compatibility? Is this a new generation? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, all Scorpio games will be able to be played on Xbox One. Oh, then they're not Scorpio games. So what the fuck are you talking about? So now, really, in reality, it is just Xbox One Pro. Let's just call it as is. Xbox One Pro.
Sure.
And yes. But the thing is, because they waited so long to talk about this, I feel like they did themselves more bad than good.
I don't know. I mean, their Xbox One S sold very well this
fall. No, it definitely did. But I mean, like, at least talk about the system. Like, you just let Sony have the limelight with PS4 Pro, like that high performance demographic, a niche. Like, and now a year later, you're talking about your version of it.
What's weird about this is they've come out and they said, specifically, that they don't want to talk about hardware at E3. They want to talk about games only. But we don't have all the information on this hardware yet, like pricing, when it's coming out, what it looks like.
No.
You know, we don't have that information. Why not give us that now? When, like you just said, the Switch is out there selling like hotcakes. Try to steal some thunder. Like, try to come out and say, this is what we have coming out soon if you're thinking about buying a console. Don't buy these other ones yet. Look at ours. They're not doing that. Like, I don't get it.
Exactly.
So,
just confusing. And I just feel like this is a big misstep because it's like, I guess we're at the halfway point in this generation for Xbox One and PS4. It just seems like a weird stopgap. And I know, Mike, you have like really strong feelings about the whole practice, which, you know, I'm kind of neutral on because I don't really care about getting a Pro right now for either version of this either hardware. But it just feels like they spent all this R&D and time and effort and energy, and it's like, but why?
I don't know. Like, they need content. They need content. That's it.
I honestly just feel like they've listened to everyone complain about how weak these systems are this generation compared to PC. So they're like, oh, here, we can fix it, but we can't really, like, make a real new system right now. So that's what they did. And they're just narrowing the gap anyway. They're still not going to be, like, stronger than the highest of high-end PCs. So what's the point?
You're never going to beat a PC. It's just not going
to
happen.
I mean, they used to back in the day, but not anymore. For a little bit.
Yeah, because PCs were built on, like, the same idea. And it was having a closed console platform actually helped it. Nowadays, it's, you know, they're all built on the PC anyways and then basically brought to the systems. So, I don't know. Anyways.
It's just not the purpose of a console. I know that this is a bigger gap than it used to be, but it's just, this is not the way for them to do things. They shouldn't be chasing the PC performance numbers like that. They don't benefit from that.
No.
I mean, it would have been fine to just release it. Like, that's fine. Like Sony comes out with their PS4 Pro. I totally understand, like, hey, we got to have something to combat that high-performance issue. And, you know, they do have advantage with, like, 4K, you know, no, playback and all that stuff.
I understand, but, like, what they were doing with bringing this out.
Yeah, but to put this much emphasis on it and have that much silence, like, it's weird. It's baffling.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely baffling to me. Like, just talk about, like, hey, we have a Pro version of...
Or say, like, do what Nintendo did. Like, they just had an announcement of details. They gave us specs. They gave us information. They've trickled that information this whole week. Find out full reveal May 5th. I don't know. Like, just give us something now, a date to look forward to. Like, Nintendo did it, like, 2 months in advance, remember?
Yep.
There could be some intentional, like, misdirection going on here where they want some people to think, oh, this is, you know, the next-gen system. Like, this will help play, like, new games or something. Perhaps that's why they're not giving a lot of information about this, because they want some people to be like, all right, this is a new, totally new system and the next gen, so cool. And maybe that's what they're going for.
I guess I don't know.
What else does silence communicate other than misinformation if you don't, like, know what it is yet? So
I mean, the thing is, like, I could totally understand if Microsoft at least had, like, a big E3 booth. Because that would show that they have confidence in whatever games they are showing. Because, like, you know, last year, you know, Nintendo showed up with Zelda. Just fucking one game. Like, not even a new system. Just one game. And it still, like, stole so much thunder out of that show. This year, you look up Microsoft's booth and you're just like, it's a quarter of the size of Sony. A quarter. Like, what are they showing off there? What?
I don't know.
If you're going to have games, you need more space than that, motherfuckers. Like, come on. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, I know I sound like a broken record, but it's not looking too good for Microsoft.
I mean, all we ever get are new color controllers and new hardware. All we get is new hardware. I mean, that's...
No, and that's great. Like, I think it's awesome that they just have, like, the Elite controller and whatnot, but it's just, like...
Oh, I'm not saying they're terrible, but give us the other... Like, there's no reason that they can't give us some games.
That's one part of the equation.
I feel like they were really banking on Halo 5 to be good for them, like, for a while, like, supported for a long time, and, like, just installing confidence in their first party lineup, but it just did not happen.
Yeah, I mean, so Halo has just dropped in popularity, because back in the day, it was the king of FPS on consoles. It was, but, like, since then, I mean, Call of Duty has risen to absurd, like, just is broken the norms aside. It's just known as a thing now, like, even non-gamer, like, girlfriends and wives know what Call of Duty is and stuff like that. You know, you have, if on the esports side of things, you have stuff like, I mean, MOBAs that just took away from that. But, like, even that, you have Counter-Strike for professional FPS. And then you look at stuff like Overwatch, just like that pie, it's gotten bigger, but there's more competitors in it. So it's like, Yeah, they probably put too many eggs in one basket for Halo 5, not to mention the shit show that was Halo Master Chief Collection. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was so terrible. Disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that was them trying to generate another game out of that franchise that really didn't exist. And clearly they just pushed it out there real quick to just make another title, and it just did not work. It backfired completely.
Yeah, because like I remember saying when they initially announced it, I was like, you know what? I could see myself getting a cheap Xbox One just to have like the Master Chief Collection, like in HD and, you know, new controllers and all that stuff, because those are games like I like to play like every now and then, you know, with my friends, stuff like that.
When I heard of that, like, and I didn't have an Xbox One, but I'm like, oh, you know, that would be interesting, because I never played Halo 1 or 2. I played Halo 3 and onwards, not till 5. I didn't play 5, but so I'm like, oh, that would be an interesting game for me. And if that and Halo 4 were both good, maybe I would have gotten an Xbox One. But neither of them were really good. So I'm like, all right, that's the end of me considering this system. And that stands to this day, pretty much.
All right. And I mean, you know, the thing is, they just didn't take the time to invest in other franchises. Like, they never, I think they never thought to themselves, like, oh man, Master Chief probably isn't going to be like a culture icon, you know, at some point. Because, like,
well, when you release games too fast, you kill the franchise, is what you do. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, then I don't think Master Chief is a really good mascot anyway. It's like, all right, some dude.
I mean, he used to be, but not now.
Yeah. they got to change with the times. So, and they haven't. Uncharted DLC. We'll talk about that right now. Lost Legacy. Was going to be DLC, first of all, and now it's being released as a side story, as we were discussing today. August 22nd, which is a good date, at $40.
That is, what, a year and a half after the initial release of that game? But, of course, it's not DLC now anymore, but still.
It turned into this big project. So it's going to be about between, like, they set up to 10 hours of play, so it could be 8, could be 6, who knows, but I'm going to go with, like, the middle, go with 8 to be safe on this, but, I mean, it's a lot of content for $40, it is.
Maybe. It seems like a pretty high price tag to me. I expect it to be $20-$30 range.
When you spend $40 on a season pass, I mean, how many hours of content do you get out of a season pass usually?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever paid that much for a season pass.
You spend $30 usually. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I'm going to spend $30 on this game anyways at Best Buy. So, with GCU.
I don't know. I mentioned earlier, this sucks for the people who, you know, got the season. First of all, the season pass for Uncharted, it's mostly multiplayer stuff. But there was an implication that this or something would be story-based for them on there.
And
now that's not true anymore. Only if they bought it a long time ago.
No, no. If you bought the replacement season pass, now you can't get it, obviously. But, if you have the Explorers pack that got replaced the original triple pack, so it was confusing how they did it. But those two both get this for free, so that's not bad.
I guess, but I mean, there's still some people who are going to miss out, and I don't know. You know, it's again. I mentioned this is similar to what happened with Fallout 4, but since it's Naughty Dog, no one will care.
I don't think you think Bethesda has it harder than Naughty Dog.
From reputation wise, absolutely.
Why?
Because like, Naughty Dog can do no wrong. Naughty Dog can do no wrong.
I would
There's
say Bethesda.
A lot of backlash over Uncharted 3.
Yeah, I would say, but no, I'd say Bethesda is pretty huge, and people take a lot of their stuff for like when they announced Fallout 4, it was like gasp and awe. Like people loved it.
Well, people liked it, but then there's everyone who's like resents them for not being like Obsidian.
Actually playing the game changed ideas, Mike. I'm saying when they announced it.
No, yeah, even back in Fallout 3, people were like, Fallout 3 sucks. This isn't, you know, this OG
it was
Fallout
game of the year
series.
For a lot of people, Mike. That was always on lists. I mean, that was talked about like crazy. That's why I played it. I'm not an open world fan, but I had to play that game. Like, I had to play it.
I'm just saying this sort of thing, like Fallout got tons of shit when they had to restructure their DLC because they added more content than they thought.
They did the same
type of thing here, and there's like not a peep like, from anyone.
I'm not saying Naughty Dog doesn't get like a benefit of the doubt for their games, but I'm going to say that Bethesda is in that group as well that gets that.
Especially now.
What did Fallout get in scores?
like eight, five, maybe nines.
What's its Metacritic score?
I thought it was nine. I thought it was like nine, like low 90s.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was too. And I would say that game was nowhere near that.
I don't think it was that high. I think it was like 8.5.
87.
I mean, I would give the game an 8.5, so.
I'm just saying, Mike. I mean, I feel like these magazines are all giving it pretty good scores, and, like, it wasn't that good of a game.
It was a fine game. It just wasn't as good as it should have been.
Okay, so that's at an 87.
Uncharted. See what Uncharted 4 is. Yeah.
93. It's a 5-point difference. Well, 6-point.
It's a pretty big difference.
You also have less reviewers, I think, for... You have less reviewers for Uncharted because of the... So less negative scores can come in because of the fact that it's an exclusive game. So you don't... Some outlets won't cover it if they're like Xbox. You know what I mean? Like it would for Fallout. So...
I guess. I don't know. But... Anyway, whatever. We'll see if this is worth $40. It's got a lot to prove to me to show that, like,
I mean, I'm gonna wait for the. I'm not gonna like
8 to 10 hour experience. Is $40.
I'm not gonna buy it right away. Like, I waited for The Last of Us information. When I heard that was really good, I went and played it. Like, that's how it worked for The Last of Us. Like, I was like, I'm not interested in this at the moment, but I'm gonna look at it and see what people think. And then, like, everybody told me I have to play it, so I played it. I think it'll be the same idea for this. Like, when it comes out, I'll see what people are saying, and then I'll play it if it's good. If people are saying it's crap, I'm not playing it. They're not going to get my money. Like, that's pretty straightforward. You just don't think people are going to say it's crap.
No, no one's going to say it's crap. It's Naughty Dog. I mean, you guys were real upset about Uncharted 3, too. Like, you guys were, but I didn't hear much about that anywhere else, either.
I mean, I guess, but I don't know. That had broken parts of it. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, Andromeda got patched. That's the final bit of information we have for this. 1.05. Fix a lot of animations. Fix the eyes. Fix the eyes.
I mean, I'm playing the game now.
We'll get into what you've been up to then. Tie this in because we can start that
now. So, yeah. Obviously, it's pretty much all I've played.
Yeah.
Lately. I'm at like 65 hours.
Our conversations here are going to be one-sided. We've got a Mass Effect conversation and probably just the Persona conversation coming
up. Yes. So I'm looking here, and I don't really see too much, honestly, with this patch.
Really?
Like, I see you can skip through the within-one-system animations, which is good, while you're moving around, because that's just annoying.
I fucking hate that, dude. Like, that was so annoying.
So, yeah, you can skip through those. As far as the eyes go, like, they really just seem like they're shaded more. And... the classic meme face character, Addison, is like, she had the most work done to her because obviously people like made her into a meme.
I mean, she looked fucking terrible.
So
the main character?
Yeah, the main character.
No.
Oh, no, you mean... No.
Addison, the one you talked with on...
Yeah. My face is tired.
They added some, like, gestures and animations. Like, she actually, like, does this when she says, "My face is tired now." But, like, her eyes are shrunk. Like, they made them smaller and stuff. They changed her a bit.
There's no fix for bad dialogue, right?
But, that's the other thing. They're going to change dialogue for a certain character, but I don't want to get into that. Where I care about most with this patch, though, is they've adjusted sort of the economy of the resources. You're way less limited with your inventory, which is good. And basically,
they upped it to like 200 now, right? If you have
at least doubled it. It's crazy. Yeah. So it feels kind of freeing because for a while you're just like, oh, I gotta like sell all this bullshit all the time now. So you know, it's good. I also went back and looked at some Mass Effect videos on YouTube from the older series. I'm like, oh, well, this was still a lot better back then. even with these changes, I went back and I'm like, oh, none of these characters
are this
interesting.
That's the biggest problem with this game.
What I care about the most. I don't really care.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing for this game. I stopped playing it and it wasn't just because of Persona, but it was more of the realization that once you realize that the draw of Mass Effect is not in this game, like the fact that you can play a saga and play this game and let it come with you, your characters, and experience that into the next game.
I still expect something like that,
but
though.
But it's not going to be there, Mike. I'm sorry. It's not happening.
You think the series is over after this game?
I think this game area is done. I think they're done with this. The Ryder family will never see another video game.
I don't think so. I think they'll have to make a sequel to this.
I think
they're uploading your data there.
Have to?
I don't think... Here's the thing. I think I'm trading it in because I don't think I'm going to play the game until they announce that.
Oh, my. Well, I mean, I guess so. It'll be pretty patched
by
then.
It's not drawing enough of my information. Like, it's not... The story's not good enough without the draw of the fact that this could be better and fixed if they actually spend time on another game.
I don't know. I mean...
Seriously. It's not the best... It's lesser than 2 and 3 in terms of the story. And 3's story wasn't great at the end, obviously, but it was a good story up to it. The characters aren't as memorable. The dialogue is terrible. The graphics aren't as good. The exploration is not as fun because it's more tedious.
There's a little more exploration to this, though. There's a lot of...
There's colonization, that's not it.
Well, you have
And it's a cool idea. I'm not saying that's not a cool idea. That's a cool aspect. Like, you can make a planet viable and increase your resources and stuff, and that's a cool idea.
I mean, and it's not as narrative-focused, for sure, doing all
and
that.
And that's what that game's about to me. Like, that is all about its story. Combat, for me, was, like, yeah, it's cool that it actually controls in combat, and it's good, but the game's never designed around that. The game is meant to be played as an experience narrative. It's meant to be a story that you see unfold and play it. That's how it's supposed to be.
Role-playing. Yeah. The story is there, it's just not as good.
Like, people forgive Morrowind and all the Elder Scrolls games, their combat, because their combat's not great in those games. But they forgive it because it has such a good experience, the story, the world. Like, there's nothing in this.
I do have to say that the exploration aspect, I think, adds a little bit to it. This game
has no soul.
Okay.
It's the best way to say it. Like, it's the best description. Like, there's just no... substance there. There's just nothing. It's like it's just going through its paces, and they're playing on you, Mike, because you're a Mass Effect fan, and they did it to me. And I've woken up.
No, I agree. I wanted to say I have
been unplugged from the Matrix, so I'm good.
You took the blue pill.
Sounds like you were plugged back in when you said that for me, because you totally. Droided on me there, but
sorry. My set will be fine, don't worry.
But I don't know, I'm enjoying it still. There's a couple interesting characters in there, and I'm gonna put more time into it until Injustice comes around. Okay. What can I say?
All right, I mean, there's nothing else for you to play, that's fine. Tony, what have you been playing? Because you have like 22 hours or something in Persona.
Yeah, Persona, it's nothing but Persona.
I'm up to 7.5.
There you go.
I got so much
time on this weekend. I was like, yeah, I don't have any social obligations.
I'm still in the first dungeon. I'm like so afraid to miss something outside too. Like, I don't know what to do with my time. I'm just like, what do I do? Like, is this enough time to go in there? Is this not? I mean, I don't know.
That's the eternal struggle.
Yeah, it's tough. That really is tough decisions. Like, I don't know how big the dungeon is. So, like, do I just run in there and try to do it all in one shot? I know that's not possible for me, but.
No. I definitely think it's impossible if you're trying to do like a one shot, because you're just going to run an MP, or in this game it's SP.
My new plan is to get to like the ending spot and then get the hell out and then do all my other shit. That's my plan.
So when you get to a safe room, you can actually ask, like, how's our progress going? And Morgana will talk about how far he thinks you guys are in.
Yeah.
It's either we're not far in, or about the halfway point, or like, yeah, we're here. So
yeah, that's what I would say.
Get to a safe room that go as far as you can until you're like, yep, I don't have the magic to.
I got to the point where I was just like, attack, because I had nothing left. It's straight up attack.
That's the dangerous part, because it's like, I want to get to the next one, but I might die on the way there. Because dying in this game fucking sucks. I didn't die until this most recent dungeon. I'm on the third one now. Mm-hmm. And I died like 3 times. And I was just like, oh god. Each time it was 20 minutes of progress. I'm like, fuck this game.
I do forget to, not forget to save. It's weird that you have to manually save still. But like the autosave thing is, you know, getting rid of that thought in my head. Like, I have to now save. But it does help their save rooms. The thing I always forget is to kind of analyze the enemy before I just rush them, like to surprise them to like oh. I don't scan them to see what level they are. Like you can hold that trigger and you see if they're red, yellow, or
as long as you get the initial strike on them, you're good. I mean, even if they all level, it's never that bad. You just exploit weaknesses.
Yeah. So, although there was a room I just got through, which I think it was like a mini boss, and then there were a shit ton of guards, and I just got like, I didn't get trounced, but that basically made me leave that dungeon after.
Yeah,
that.
I was like, you need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I couldn't handle. I had nothing left after all that. So, but it was cool. Like, it's a cool game. So, anyways, what are you're 22 hours in, enjoying it, right?
Yeah, the story's good. I know you mentioned Slack. You don't like flashback stories, and I agree with you. Like,
I stand by that statement.
It's not my storytelling method of choice because just like, I don't know. I just hate that generic like kind of like record scratch freeze frame.
Like it doesn't.
I bet you're wondering how I got here. Let me tell you the story.
Yes. Here's the thing. Like, you know you're heading, but it's not only that. But it's more. My whole issue is more like, does it have to be there? Like, if I'm thinking about if I started this game without that part, I think I'd still be enjoying this game. I don't know what happens. There might be something later in the game that makes more fit, that helps. Like, that's a cool idea.
Right.
So I'm going to hold until I play it through. But my early impressions were that was my gripe. But, yeah.
Yeah. Because I think it just forces you into, like, a box where you're like, oh, well, no matter what happens here, I know I have to wind up in this situation. Because it's like, eh. And in an RPG where it's kind of like gives you a certain amount of choice and freedom and stuff like that, it kind of feels hokey or cheap.
It still bottlenecks you into it.
Yeah. My personal best hope scenario for that is that you know, the present day or whatever is not the actual like end of the game. It's kind of like halfway. Before the end of the game.
Halfway
or something. Yeah. Right, something like that. That would be cool. But other than that, I mean, everything else is awesome. I'm actually really pleasantly surprised by the English voice acting. I think they did a great job. Other than some mispronunciation of the words, like Takamaki, it's like that's not how they would say that, like, or whatever.
There's a couple of them that you're just kind of like
Tamaka or something.
Yeah, how did they because they spent a lot of time on that, on the voice and then you kind of have to leave that on because of the background talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really do need that, I think. But
but I mean, everything about the game, they've really cut out a lot of the fat in terms of just like, I don't know if, Jim, if you remember your Persona 4 experience, but if you needed to go to somewhere like the gym or the library or whatever, you had to like actually physically walk there.
Yeah, this like, fast travel is so much nicer.
It's like, click here. Yeah, I'll go over here. It's like, I don't mind it. Like, there are straight up days in the older Persona games. I'm like, I really don't feel like walking all the way to the fucking end of the city to talk to one NPC. Like, sorry, bro. I'm not helping you today. And the cell phone aspect, I actually really like the implementation of the cell phone, because like, you can just get actual text message from your teammates and confidants and stuff like that. And she's like, hey, we need to do this. I was like, all right, yeah, let's meet up. And it just automatically takes you to wherever you need to be. Because in previous games, it was just a pain in the ass because you like have to like find them. It's like, what day of the week is it? And I think they're in this classroom. And it's like, you have to, again, physically go there and like talk to them. And they'd be like, yeah, I don't want to do anything today. It's like, all right, well, I guess I'll go jerk myself off. But yeah, battle system's good.
Yeah.
Like I said, the story is interesting. It's a bit it's weird. Like, Persona 3 was really dark, and I think because of that, Persona 4 was a bit more lighthearted and just like not only like thematics and character development and stuff like that, but just colors and design wise. Persona 5 is back to being dark as fuck. Like, holy shit, like, I said it initially, I was like, damn, this could
get real dark real quick. I obviously got to that one part where you're just like, this is dark. This shit's dark, like, yeah.
It's like, damn, like, that is some shit. Like, there's some plot implication there on, like, what happened and why it happened.
Yes, there's implications, like, yes.
It's like, I'm pretty sure this happened where, like, if it was a movie or something like that, like, Game of Thrones or whatever, it just would have happened, and it just would have been like a big issue and stuff, I guess. But because of the Japanese
interpretation, we all know what happened.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really fun. Actually, one thing I really enjoy about it is something that I think they took a page out of. I'm not saying Wolf Among Us did it first, but that's my experience with it. Where like, you could press the touchpad screen and see what other people did.
Yeah, I like that feature because I'm new to this. I'm really new to this universe, and I played Persona 4 a little bit, played it for a couple hours, and then you know, I just didn't get all the way into that like I should have. So, like, these games for me are new. So I'm kind of like, I'm using that when I'm in the classroom. I'm kind of like, should I go to the dungeon? Well, let me see what these people are doing. And a lot of times, unfortunately, it's like 42, 30, and like 12. So I'm like, well, that's not a good indication of what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing. But like, at least it gives you ideas, though, to what you could be doing for somebody who doesn't really know the game. You know what I mean?
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, like, I did it out of order. Like, one of the 12% choices I did, like, I went to experience, to build a relationship thing at some point that maybe I shouldn't have, but I still have plenty of time to finish the dungeon, so.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, if you finish a dungeon early, you just get, you can just do whatever you want for the rest of the period. You know,
oh, you do have that time?
Mm-hmm.
You still have that length?
Yep.
Oh. So if I go and finish that dungeon tonight, I still have, like, 8 days left on the counter. I still get 8 more days to do whatever the hell I want.
Yep.
Oh, I thought like once you finish the dungeon, it's over with that story arc.
No.
Oh,
and those are basically just like, all right, well, we did this. We got to wait for thing X for reason Y. Like, that's it. And you still get your days. Yeah. They never take time away from you.
Okay. So it's like, I can actually, oh, good. Okay. So that helps like integrating it in. That does help. Yeah. Holy shit. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So there's no penalty of doing the dungeon first. And, like, to be honest, that's how I approached my first Persona game. I was just like, I'm just going to do this dungeon, and then I'll have the rest of the time free. With this one, I'm a little bit more like, yeah, I could wait another day or two. It's like, not that important. I got to study. I got to romance some bitches in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. Some of the...
Dude, his adopted father, like, making coffee with him. And I'm immediately thinking about coffee, by the way. And I'm just like, and it's just the innuendo is there as well. And I'm just like, this is amazing. This is amazing.
I like how, you know, your adopted father, family or whatever, he's like, sorry, I'm making a habit not to save men's numbers in my cell phone. It's like, yeah, all right, that's cool. Fair enough. Like, or when he drove me to school, he's like, it's usually women that are riding in my car with me. It's just like,
yep.
Damn, dude, like, what are you doing? You're like old, but you know, hey, more power to him. No, but game's good, obviously, pretty addicted. We'll see. It's supposed to be like, I think people said they were clocking at like 80 to 100 hours.
Is it really,
which is crazy.
Like 80 hours, really? Like, I thought maybe like 60.
I mean, that's where I ended up on Persona 3 and 4, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Is it gonna be too long then? I don't know. Is it gonna be too long? Who knows? At that point, you're finishing it no matter what happens. If you're grueling tired of the game, you're still finishing it.
At the same time, I mean, what else is coming out now?
That's the best. It finished. It launched at the right time. So it's good. But it's got plenty of months to fill. So.
Go.
All right. I think that's it. We're good?
Nope. One more thing.
Okay.
Didn't put it on there because it broke during the podcast.
I was trying to find Twitter if we had missing news.
Hot news, Star Wars Battlefront 2 Sony advertisement leaked online. I guess the big thing is that it's A, going to have a campaign or story mode, and B, it goes throughout all the eras of the Star Wars movie universe. So they show Darth Maul and...
Oh, wow.
What's her name?
All the way up to Force Awakens.
Yeah, what's her name?
Rey.
So that looks like the cover art, and it's like a TIE pilot standing in front of both of them. It says, pre-order to get Star Wars, The Last Jedi Heroes. But
well, I mean, a single-player mode, that's like a campaign mode is a good idea. I think that's
good.
I'm excited about it.
I mean, played the game. I mean, I would be shocked if you weren't, Mike.
Yeah. Like this... I didn't care. I didn't have any interest in Battlefront 1, but this one, because I have the story and stuff, and I'm positive on the Star Wars universe again. It's on my radar. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see, but it looks like a cool trailer. The host got it taken down, but there are rehosts on YouTube right now, so
okay.
If you want it, you can get it, and I guess we'll tweet it out, too, on the official Twitter.
It'll be up for a little bit until it gets pulled down.
Yeah.
And then they're just going to release it anyways at this point. Once it's out, it's always out.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's going to wrap up 339. Thanks for tuning in. Write us podcast at allyoucangeek.net. Follow us on Twitter at allyoucangeek. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tune in next week. We'll be talking about maybe some Star Wars games. Star Wars Celebration's going on Thursday, so we'll see what's coming up. Thanks.